Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to preach on the Old Testament lesson. I'll reread these words. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is our text. So how easy is it to deal with those people who are going the wrong way? How easy? What kind of person would you send to get that job done that is telling them the bad news? We tend to be a bit concerned about the kill the messenger syndrome because it's very popular among human beings who don't want to hear good news or hear any news or bad news. As a matter of fact, we have a bunch of technical big tech companies who are trying to kill the messengers. Not that they're all telling the truth, that is the messengers, but just shutting everybody down and controlling speech, you can see it happen. I was just watching a news report in which we were told that even the people who had nothing to do with the Capitol building are now in fear of losing their jobs, their livelihoods, and so on. So when you think about human beings acting like that, what would you think about sending a young boy, a little boy, into the midst of people who are blaspheming and doing all sorts of things? Things are a bit out of control with regard to Eli and his sons. And the boy Samuel has been working there, but he is, after all, just a boy. Would you send your boy into that situation? How about Hannah's boy, the boy she prayed for, the one she devoted to the Lord's work, having prayed for a child? Surely the sons of Eli, who did not listen to their father nor to the word of God, would listen to this little boy? Not really. In chapter 2, verses 22 and following, this is what we hear. Now, Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And so he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Wow. You mean God thinks about people in those terms? Yep, he does. He's had enough, so it's just a matter of time. He's choosing his time. Would Samuel listen, or would these boys listen to Samuel? It's not the point, is it? The point has never been the power and impressiveness of the messenger. Paul tells us, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this vessel in earthen vessels, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Huh. That's the answer. Little boy, old man, stammering young man, it doesn't make any difference. God makes the prophet. It might seem that these are just a waste of time. Go off and speak these words. But they are God's declarations, God's judgments, God's promises, as we heard at the Annunciation, literally in the Greek, that not impossible, from every word from God. Not impossible, every word. And so God's prophet go about proclaiming God's word. It's a mighty work. The Lord, as with everything else, creates his prophets through his word. Samuel, a boy serving in the midst of this mess. You know, you might think it's hard to see why God would allow this situation to continue, especially with this little boy sleeping by the ark in the tabernacle when he was called by God. But having heard about what these boys, these Eli's sons, were doing, even worse than that, actually, more than that, we would think, especially with what that young boy would, they're watching everything happen, wouldn't they just corrupt the boy? And that's what we worry about as we transverse this world, especially for our children and grandchildren. But the point of the matter is, in this text, is that Samuel was never left alone, nor has the Lord left us without the means to stand. When people become corrupt, it's not because God hasn't provided what they need. It's because they have given up or walked away from it. You can say, well, they've become tempted. That might be. But God provides a way back. He warns about temptation, as Peter warned us on Sunday. The Lord calls the boy. Yes, even and especially in the midst of this place, because he cares for people. But a boy, why a boy? Because God is reminding the people of Israel that it is his word that gets things done, not the power or persuasiveness of the speaker. For the Lord is not afraid or incapable of sustaining the word and calling people to repentance. He calls the boy's name, but the boy doesn't understand who it is. Visions were rare in those days. He would not have understood. He would not even have perceived that. And Eli was not much use. He did help him eventually. Imagine being asleep and hearing a voice. Eli does direct him. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I'm listening. And that is what the Lord needed in this place, a servant who heard, who would listen. That's what the Lord needs wherever there is corruption, wherever there is evil, wherever there are pandemics, wherever there is anything that could conceivably cause us difficulty, pain, or suffering. He needs people who will listen, because his word is that which rescues us, saves us, sustains us. That word was to be proclaimed, especially here. God was not going to allow his tabernacle, his ark, to be used in such a despicable way. This was to be a place where the message of law and gospel would abide. And while the sons of Eli were corrupt, the Lord would not allow the darkness to shut the light off, to comprehend it, as John says. Rather, the boy heard the voice of the Lord in his message. And once the Lord gives a message to his people, he sends them out with that word. The Lord sends them out with his word. The word which is not at all ever impossible. This child hears the judgment of God, the judgment God will work upon Eli and his sons. Now this must have caused him a bit of fear. In fact, we read that it did. He waited till the morning and Eli called him, and he did not want to tell him what the Lord said. Of course, that's the way we are as human beings all the time. That's why in the church we find people compromising in order to save their relationship with their children, or not to get attacked, or not to get doxxed, or whatever it might be. And this word was so plain and so hard. But that's what human beings need, don't they? The plain, simple word of God. Eli's soft words didn't seem to move his sons at all. Oh my, why are you doing this? you're making the people blaspheme. You can almost hear it in the language. But Eli was an old man. His sons had ignored him. And he didn't seem to be able to do anything. God said, you didn't restrain them. His words didn't seem to move anything. But that's the point. God doesn't ask us to sit down and have a little therapy session with someone when they're walking in sin. He expects us to speak very clearly to them, to warn them, and yes, the word does judge them. The prophet speaks about what's going to happen, and so there is no calculation from the prophet here, just proclamation. The Lord is jealous for his people and will not bear with those who corrupt the place where the gospel is meant to be preached. The law was clear. The sacrifices were clear. They all pointed us to Christ. But these boys were abusing their calling and causing others to stumble. Whoa, that's not a good thing. Any pastor who teaches false doctrine, a curse rests on him. Anybody who knows someone who does that and doesn't warn them, that's not a good thing. We are called to warn our neighbors, to care and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't just get along like you do in a secular culture. So the Lord speaks a word which will not fail to come to pass. Notice the double negative. A terrible word. The most terrible word that you can ever hear. There will be no atonement for your sin. There will be no forgiveness forever. A terrifying word. We look at people like Eli and think, well, you know, he's just a weak kind of man. No. It's not the way God sees it. God doesn't make excuses for us. He should have restrained his sons. And now his sons would never be forgiven. The house of Eli would never have an atonement for their sins. He deals with those who were corrupting that place in which God's true love and mercy was to be seen, heard, and tasted. And so he acts in time, so that the hearts and minds of those who came for mercy and grace may be settled, that they might see and know that God, through this little boy, was working. They may be settled. Sinners were given a place again where the sure word of God of mercy and grace could be found. The sure word, the word that deals with sinners, damned sinners, nasty sinners, who come with their sins. And they find Christ. They find the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. They see in the blood of the lambs, the goats, the bulls, the birds, they see the blood once and for all shed by the one who is going to come and save them. All of these things were meant to point them to the salvation that God was working. These words establish a church and sustain her, even in the midst of sin and failure. The Lord sends a little boy into the midst of this, and the word of the Lord speaks judgment, and the words of also grace and peace. The words that proclaiming the coming of the Christ, the Lamb of God, again stand. They again stand. You know what happens when churches, we call this liberal, left-leaning, all these different labels we use. Do you know what's wrong with every church we don't agree with? Is they compromise and they corrupt the gospel. Whether it's the doctrine of baptism, the Lord's Supper, the absolution, the person and work of Christ, the third article of the creed. It's all there. That's what the devil's about. The devil in this situation had created a horrible place where people, instead of giving thanks to God for the promise of his coming son, were blaspheming God, taking offense. And so Samuel was a prophet who preached Christ. The text says, "The Lord is with him, and none of his words fell to the ground." What a lovely text. In the Old Testament, it says you can tell a prophet by means of the fact that when he proclaims something, when he predicts something, when he says something's going to come to pass, it comes to pass. The Lord was with him. We heard this last week on Thursday night, in particular in Romans 6. The Lord draws near to sinners. That's what he was doing there, where Eli lived. He was drawing near. And his sons had corrupted the place. He draws near to sinners, calling them to repentance and forgiveness. The first sermon of Jesus, we read this morning in the circuit meeting, John chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." There is a real word, a simple sermon. Repent. Despair of everything you have ever done. Give up on yourself completely and believe the gospel. The good news that a little babe came into the world. And even when he was 2 years old and Herod wanted to kill him, he was doing what no man could do. He was living a perfect life. And he did that throughout all of his days. Repent and believe the gospel. He kept the law because we didn't. And then he paid the debt on the cross, taking every one of our sins onto the cross with him. And in exchange, giving us his righteousness. Paul says, we were baptized with him into his death. With him. Over and over again in Romans 6, Paul says, with him, with him, with him. He comes. We were raised with him to eternal life. Where the Lord is, the goal of rescuing sinners from sin, death, and the devil is going on. The kingdom of God is being established. One little word can fell him. The message of Christ must be proclaimed. Samuel would anoint David king over Israel, the one through whom the Messiah would come. None of the words of Samuel fell to the ground. What a wonderful description of what God did through this prophet. The words did not fall to the ground. They didn't fail to do what God intended them to accomplish. That reminds us of Isaiah's text later on, 300 years later, 400 more, even more than that, 400 or 500 years later. My word will not go out without accomplishing that for which I sent it. And that's what the prophets brought. And that's what they spoke. And they did what God intended. Not a word fell to the ground. Not a word has ever fallen to the ground. But every word of man that is not rooted in truth will not stand. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. My word is truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus prays in the prayer, the high priestly prayer. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. God made a life for this man, this little boy, this prophet, in the midst of this really dangerous situation. All the people, it says, knew that Samuel was a faithful prophet, quite different from Eli's sons. All the people knew that God loved them by sending them a faithful prophet, that God cared about their soul, that he wouldn't allow this to go on. Quite different from Eli's sons. But not for his own sake. Not so that we would hold Samuel up. But for the sake of God. So that we would remember God's mercy and grace, which are new every morning. It came to pass, you might remember, when the people of God, the people of Israel, asked for a king. And Samuel was quite upset. since they had basically cast away his office as judge and prophet. But God reminded him that his office was actually established by God, created by God, sustained by God. None of his words fell to the ground. And by rejecting even Samuel, they rejected God. Jesus says it in Luke, "Those who hear you, hear me. And the one who hears me, hears the one who sent me." They were rejecting God. God says, don't worry. Samuel tried to warn them, but God would use all of this for his purposes. For his purposes of the Messiah, King, a new heaven and a new earth. All of those purposes, those promises, those words would not fail. And we will join Samuel and all the saints when our time is past. But in the meantime, we are people of the word. Amen.